don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they
call me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is August 29th, 2012. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Mr. Tuan Billings. Now, as far back as Tuan could remember, his family was infested with gangs, both Bloods and Crips. Tuan was born in Cleveland and raised in Los Angeles in Inglewood and Avalon Garden Projects in Watts. He became a member of the Grape Street Crips in 1978, and during that time he was back and forth in Los Angeles and Cleveland. In 1983, Tuan moved to Cleveland, where he began getting into trouble with the law, fighting, stealing cars, and inevitably assembling and forming a set of Grape Street Crips in the Cleveland area. By this time, he was a four-year Taekwondo champ and fought in numerous martial arts tournaments in California and in Cleveland. Later on, he became imprisoned, and while in prison, Tuan became ordained as a reverend in 1996. And by this time, Tuan's security status in Mansfield Correctional Institution dropped to medium, and he was shipped to a correctional camp called Richland. There he saw a lot of young guys coming in. From then, he began to talk to the young men and ask them why they were there. As a result of his fearlessness and knowledge of the streets, Reverend Billings went to areas where no one dared to enter. There he conducted meditations, mentoring, and has always given a hand when necessary. So Tuan's story goes deeper than this, and tonight we're going to get his own personal testimony and story. But before we bring him on, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
We'd like to just thank everybody for tuning in to the show every Wednesday night, and thanking everybody for their support with the movement. And without further ado, I'm going to pass the mic over to Mr. Billing, and he's going to formally introduce himself, and we're going to get the show started.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
Okay, how y'all feeling Welcome. Out there in the world?
Oh, we're feeling great over here.
Great, great.
Happy to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Tuan, let's just go ahead and start back at the beginning, I guess. Tell us a little bit about where you were born, what kind of a life you had as a young child. And then we'll just go from there and let you tell your story.
Okay, well, I was born here in Cleveland. I was raised down in Los Angeles, California, down in Inglewood. And I bounced all around in Los Angeles. I stayed in Long Beach. I stayed in Inglewood. I stayed in Watts. So I had the opportunity to bounce around.
Now, did you have both mom and dad in your life, and did you have siblings that you grew up with?
Well, yeah, I had my mom. My mother was down in Cleveland. My father was also in Cleveland, but that's my side of the family from my father's side. Actually, my father died in 78, and I was pretty much raised by my cousins and by my mom.
Okay. And did you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have my little brother. I have one brother, a younger brother.
All right. So I'm assuming by what I'm reading that you got more into the gangs when you were in the L.A. area, Inglewood, Watts. Tell us a little bit about those days and what made you steer towards those young men.
Well, when I stayed in Los Angeles down there, I was involved in a lot of gang life, I would say. You know, I mean, pretty much a typical lifestyle for a lot of young males down there. my family was infested with more Bloods than it was Crips. But that's who I was mostly around. My family was Piru Bloods, and due to the fact that we had issues of physical abuse, you know, where I was being physically abused, I went over to Watts to stay with my cousins over in Watts. And when I stayed with them, that's when I sided with deciding to join up with the Crip side of the family.
Wow. What, did you find that difficult, going from the Bloods to the Crips?
Actually, no. It was, I would say, a transition because I was a kid. The family, when they got together at family reunions, would be, you know, bickering at each other, but it wouldn't be to the point where anything got physical or nothing like that. I think that what made it interesting in my part is that I came back up to Cleveland. And when I came back up in Cleveland in the 80s, you know, because I was going back and forth, and I was here in Cleveland going to school here in Cleveland Municipal School District. My mom did not want me to go to school down there. She wanted me to go to school here. And so I had the opportunity to, you know, kind of like bounce back and forth instead of really getting caught up into many different traps that Los Angeles had to offer.
Wow. So how old were you when you ended up back in Cleveland starting up your own group of Crips? And was that the first third blood gang in Cleveland?
Well, when I first entered Cleveland permanently, where I stayed was in 1983, where I was approximately, I believe it was, I was 11 years old. And when I came up here, that's when I pretty much, you know, started smelling myself, you know what I'm saying, because I didn't have a bunch of cousins up here. I had more, you know, women raising me down here, so I was pretty loose up here to, you know, start doing pretty much, you know, what I wanted to do. Even though my mother used to burn my butt, but, you know, after a while, you know, it was getting, you know, starting to wear on her, so.
So you were 11 when you started the Crips gang in Cleveland?
Yeah, I started recruiting at that age, you know. I started informing people about what was going on down in Los Angeles, and, you know, just like any other kid, you know, let's start, you know, this set up here. And then, you know, I wouldn't really call it serious. I would say it got real serious approximately around 85, 86. That's when it started really getting serious, you know. At that age, you know, at 11, you know, you pretty much, you know, just like, you know, a bubblegum crew. But, you know, by me being involved in Piru and being involved in Grape Street, I pretty much knew, you know, the elements and knew about the recruitment and knew about, you know, the movement of it. And that enabled me to start, you know, recruiting here. And once the crew started building here and I started going in and out of youth prisons, the detention centers and places like that, that enabled me to start building. So once, you know, the West Coast started banging on the, you know, hip-hop scene, you know, people was like, you know, cuckoo for Fruity Cocoa Pops for Los Angeles, you know what I'm saying? And it became an obsession and a movement, and that's how it started spreading for me. I started having franchises of these guys all over, from Cincinnati, Columbus. I had members from all over. Every time I went to jail, it enabled me to recruit people around Ohio because, you know, as you know, I'm being in youth prisons or any other prison, people come from all sorts of different cities in Ohio. So
right.
That's how I pretty much start getting big.
Now, to support your group, I know, you know, obviously in the very beginning it was people, families coming together to protect their communities and their neighborhoods. When you came around later on, it was, maybe you can tell me a little more about the purpose. And like you said, it was just kind of the thing to do. But tell us a little bit more about your reasonings for bringing it back to Cleveland.
Well, to be honest with you, I really didn't have a reason. I just, you know, what it was is I was an angry kid, you know. Like I said, I was abused, you know what I'm saying, getting, you know, assaulted, getting cut by family members, getting beat on, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, being involved in martial arts, you know, we was into mixed martial arts back then where we had to fight in dog blood and stuff like that. You know, at the dog fight, you know, they put us in there as kids, you know, to fight. And, you know, it was like all my life it's been all about abuse, whether it was verbal or whether it was physical. And seeing a lot of, you know, death in my family, you know what I'm saying, a lot of violence, you know, I guess that incorporated in my head that this was what it was in life. And when I came up here, I was real angry. And I didn't understand what my anger triggered off to until I got older. And I guess that come about when we get online. But I started finding myself at the age of approximately about 30 or so, when I started finding myself to, you know, what was my issue? What got me angry? What caused me to go in and out of people's jails and stuff like that? So that's what pretty much started the movement here.
Okay. Now, I know that you said that you were stealing cars and fighting and different things. Did drugs come into that picture as well?
No, actually, I hate drugs. I always had a thing that I did not like drugs. It wasn't that I have anybody in my family, to my knowledge, you know, as coming up to where I am today, that anybody ever, you know, became a drug addict or anything or had any bad experience with any drugs or nothing like that. I just never liked it. You know, I just never cared for it. I never experimented. I never smoked it. I never smoked weed. I never smoked cigarettes. I never drunk. You know, so I was never in that lifestyle at all. So I never really cared about that. The violence and everything, I think that what made me unique is that people really didn't understand that I was doing all of this crazy stuff and never high, nothing like that. I don't have any kids out of wedlock or nothing like that. I don't have any tattoos. So I was pretty much a unique brand of individual. You know, I knew how to stay stealth and still be effective.
Right. Now, did you sell drugs, though, even though you didn't use them, or?
When I came out of the penitentiary after doing my 13-year stint, I had to sell, I wouldn't say that I was a major seller or nothing like that. It was, you know, bubblegum drugs, you know. I couldn't stand what I was doing. I was only in it for approximately, I say, to be totally about a month and a few days at that I was involved with it, and I hated it so bad that I had to let it go.
Okay. So as a leader of the Crips in Cleveland, what kind of things were you teaching your crews and your you know, your boys?
Well, actually, what I was teaching them, you know, when, you know, guys start, you know, developing a set of bloods and things like that, you know, my thing was not that I was against anybody that was representing, you know, Damus, you know what I'm saying, which is Bloods. You know, I wasn't, you know, into that, you know what I'm saying, because my family is mostly Damus. So, you know, it wasn't that was my thing. You know, my thing was weaponry. You know, I love firepower, so that was my thing. You know, I wasn't, you know, to the point where, you know, I would flip out on somebody because, you know, they saying that they, you know, Bloods or anything else, you know, it's just as long as we all have respect for each other, you know, you can rep what you rep, you know what I'm saying? But what I would educate my guys on is that, you know, I always told them that in this game that somebody is going to lose their life, or either somebody is going to go to jail for the rest of their life. I always was honest with them. In fact, a lot of us went to church one day. We packed a little small church, and that was probably one of the craziest things in my entire life, because those people felt like, you know, when we came in church, it was like the church just was, it's just like it shut down when we all walked in there, because I think it was approximately more of us than it was the congregation. So the music actually stopped, and I guess they thought we was coming in after somebody. So, you know, I just told them that, you know, I guess that what I was fighting, you know, good and bad, you know. I was going to schools by myself, talking to kids about staying away from gangs, even though they used to, you know, love the fact of seeing me coming to these schools and things like that and walking downtown. You know, they used to love coming up to us and, you know, wanting to be a part of us, you know, and I just was totally against kids being involved in that type of lifestyle. So I pretty much tried to educate my guys as well as the other guys about, you know, bringing in anybody under, you know, 14.
Right. And we know that young kids, a lot of them turn to gangs because they want that feeling of recognition and acceptance. And so I'm sure that that's, you know, how you got a lot of your kids. And there's angry kids, too, like you said, that, you know, they're just out there with no direction. And so when they join a gang or a group, you know, to them, that becomes their family or the people that they in turn care about or think, you know, cares about them.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times that a lot of, you know, people that join crews and stuff like that, you know, they're looking for a sense of belonging. It's just like any sorority, fraternity, military, police, it don't really matter. People look in the, you know, motorcycle clubs or anything. People is looking for a sense of belonging to something. It has always been like that, whether it's good or whether it's bad, you know. It's always that somebody is looking for a sense of belonging. Unfortunately, you know, with the movement of when the Crips first started, which was an activist, you know, group, things just turned around. And for a lot of people, they look for it to be, how would I say, like you said, attention, protection, and things like that. But once they get in, they don't realize what they had signed up for. So I always tell people, even still today, you sign up to play football, be willing to get tackled, because that's the game that you're willing to play.
Right. Well, I am going to turn the mic over to our boy for a minute, and we'll let you continue.
Okay.
Yeah, Brother Billing, yeah, we want to just get to what we was talking about earlier, that I was telling you, you know, to let the viewers know how you feel on the point that we was talking about earlier today. You know, I want you to let the viewers know what's really going on down your way and what you're really trying to help these youth get educated on now, you know, at this particular time.
Well, one of the key things here, you know, now that I'm conscious, you know, I served 13 years. My family died during the time I was incarcerated, and that what woke me up, you know. God gave me an opportunity to, you know, live and come out. He gave me my first parole, I mean, on a 15 to 40 year. Actually, I was supposed to have 9 more years, but I got out and, you know, became a power hitter out here in the city, you know, a well-respected person. And at the time, you know, I just look at things now. Now that you know you're conscious, and I have always been a person that's been out the box. I don't believe in this following the leader type of stuff, you know what I'm saying? But just to get to some things that's really bothering me the most is that when I look at a lot of people out here, you know, especially, you know, people that's, you know, calling themselves representing something or whether they're selling or whatever they're doing, I think that for a young, you know, young black males out here, I think, as well as the older folks, you know. I ran for city council in 2009, and I have heard some of the craziest things in my entire life when I ran for council. And some of those things was like people asking me, am I going to cook pancake breakfasts for them? Am I going to have parties for them? And I'm saying priority, people, priority. Don't you want a job? Don't you want your porch fixed and things like that? I look at the older people that do not know how to vote after all the things that they've been through. And then I look at the younger people that don't know the difference between snitching and telling. You know, I give you an example. People feel like snitching is when somebody tell on you. If you're standing in front of people's house and you're selling drugs, that's snitching. No, that's not snitching. That's getting you up out of their way. They don't want to get shot. They don't want their house to be shot up, and they don't want their property to be depreciated. So that's what they do. That's the game. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the game. You don't go out here and play football and run up and down the field and expect not to get tackled. That's the game.
Amen.
But
amen.
When we make an agreement to go out and do something and I get caught and then I tell on you, that's snitching.
Right.
So
but if you're
somebody
standing in front of my house, that ain't snitching. You're right, my brother. You get you up in front of my place because I don't want you in front of my place bringing all that BS in front of my place.
That's right. So it's like, you know, the difference there with today's hip-hop scene, they have turned rewritten the script of the street credibility handbook as to what's really going, what's supposed to happen out here. We got young men wearing pants that's like ace bandages around their butts, you know, and then they got them sagging, color, all in their pants, colorful socks, you know, just no polish whatsoever, man. I mean, it's like these children just don't know what's real and what's not real. So what we having is that we having a bunch of parents that's having children just to be having them for a check.
Amen.
So
amen.
They constantly having
them.
Yeah, they constantly having these children, and these children is growing up at the age of 13 and 12, breaking in people's houses, robbing people, and shooting and killing other kids and just shooting into crowds where me and you could be sitting in the, you know, in the house looking at TV, end up getting shot because somebody just feel like they, you know, this is live, this is raw. I'm hard when I do this. But in reality,
right,
like I tell anybody about street credibility, street credibility is not going out there being dumb. And today's society is being, in order to be cool, is to be dumb. It's not cool to talk about going to school, being getting a job, doing things that you're supposed to do. It's not cool to talk about pulling out chairs for women, respecting women, and things like that. That's not cool. You know, I think that for even for the young ladies who can convert a lot of ways of thinking for young men, they don't have no polish. You know, anytime you got a girl with more tattoos than a man, then there's something wrong with that. You know, piercings all in their face and their lips and stuff like that. You know, things that's already making it hard for them to be employed as it is, they opening up more, making their bodies into some type of artistry.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So I just have an issue with a lot of different things that our young people is involved with, but then at the same still feel like as us as adults, as I tell the kids when I conduct my motivational speeches, when us as adults point a finger at you, you point three back at us. Because
right,
we shouldn't allow those politicians to take parenting away from us.
Amen.
We shouldn't allow that because now the children is raising the parents.
Right, all day.
So,
you know, I'm with you on all that, man, because, you know, I sit back myself, Brother Billy, and I watch how society is, you know, and I speak on it, you know what I mean? Because I don't think, this is my perspective, you know, I don't think nobody should be having kids if you can't take care of yourself first, you know what I mean? Because now you bring a life into this world that you got to struggle with. You know what I mean? So
that's
when
right.
When I speak to people, I let people know it's about self-reliance out here. You know what I mean? And you have to learn, you have to listen, and you have to get educated on you first. You know what I mean? Get your education, get you a good job, you know what I mean? And at the same time, be self-elevated out here because the internet is the most powerful thing going in America. It's used for good and bad, you know what I mean? And you can do what you need to do without bringing three or four kids in the world, and then you can't take care of yourself. That's ass backwards to me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I just believe that when you're birthing these kids, you know, you're bringing in, you know, how some females say, well, you know, I don't believe in abortions, but you believe in screwing out of wedlock. I don't understand that terminology, you know.
Right, and you believe in bringing kids here, and you can't take care of yourself. What kind of shit is that?
Exactly. Exactly. So you have a child, you know, when you ain't got a house, you ain't got a car, nor do you got a job. And even if you did have a job, you're only making a bare minimum of $12,000 to $14,000. At a child, because if your parent is really taking care of a child, it would cost you approximately $11,000 to $15,000 to take care of a child.
Right, and that's just one.
A year. And that's just one. To have all these kids on the system, I believe that laws need to be passed to stop these parents from having these kids. I just believe that because they just, you know, they talk about, well, the men ain't this, the men ain't that. But you knew he wasn't right when you had the child bang. You knew he wasn't right when you laid with him. So, you know, it's not that you did not know. You got involved with him because you wanted to shine with him. You wanted to shine with him because he's so dope and things like that. Not understanding the game is when he get caught, everything is gone.
It's
that's
done
the game.
No way.
You don't live on that. Yes, it's
and
not. You know, they come and strip you.
Then you got to ask everybody for something. That shit is crazy.
Exactly. So, you know,
I don't believe in that.
Yeah, I just believe that when it comes to society, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of people is confused with the truth. Now, as far as the domestic violence issues and things like that, you know, when you have, you know, well, a lot of women go on a rampage about that. You know, I have did a few speeches on domestic violence because I just now opened up about the abuse that I've been through. And one of the things I tell the women is that, you know, you go on a witch hunt on men. But in reality, how many men have been murdered because women have set them up? How many men is in the penitentiary because women have set them up? How many men is suffering from child support because of greed from some woman that don't want to get a job? We can go on and on about the mind, body, and soul beat down that some of the sisters men through. So, you know, it's the bottom line is when you're talking about violence, you're talking about holistic violence. It can be verbal. It can be physical. But one ain't greater than the next. Violence is violence. Whether you say you can talk to somebody and make them feel like the lowest piece of dirt on the earth and chop them down verbally.
Amen.
And that's why our children today is going toward, all this is what I'm saying, is all leading up to why our children is out here on the streets, why they don't respect their parents, because they don't got the fathers in the house. So these women is having these boys, and these boys feeling like, hey, I'm the man of the house. And a good man is not going to want to go into a ready-made family where he got to tussle and do the baby boy thing with, you know, the movie Baby Boy. A real man ain't going to want to walk into that. So a lot of females say, well, he ain't no man if he's not willing to stand up. Look, he ain't going to want to sign up to get no criminal record or beat this boy head in.
Amen.
That is not what being a man is about. So,
it's about,
you know, respect. I guess that's what it's about. So, you know, I guess that, you know, the bottom line is in life, you know, with children to adults to law enforcement, that we have a lot of things that I don't believe that we're going to ever overcome. I just read on Facebook where a preacher allegedly gave his congregation, women in his congregation, HIV. And these types of things is just like the place we used to run to and respect was church.
Amen.
So we got pastors now, you know, that's getting involved in politics, jacking people's pockets, and doing white-collar crime, also doing freaky stuff with little boys, freaky stuff with little girls, sleeping through the congregation, and, you know, it's just a really, like, a terrible situation. Here in Cleveland, we got a guy that works in the city of Cleveland in a community relations department, right? And the city of Cleveland gives our children to this guy. This guy got numerous accusations of sexual misconduct, numerous. The city keep covering it up. And then every time you looked around, they're paying this guy to work with our children, and they're putting him in front of our children and saying, hey, this is a role model. So this is what I'm saying. Nobody is stepping up and saying, I don't see no women group stepping up. I don't see the Rape Crisis Center stepping up. I don't see nobody stepping up and saying no. Now, that's one thing. Anybody can be accused of something, but over four times, your family member, your ex-girlfriend, two different women, and other women are saying the same thing about you. I was always told
to that.
Thank you. I was always told if three people tell your breath stinks, you don't need to look in the mirror.
Amen, my brother. Hey, we got a call on the line, Brother Billings. Hold on 1 second. Caller, you on the line?
All right, well, thank you. I've been listening to the show for a moment, and I agree with a lot of what's been said. However, I'd like to add a little bit, you know, as far as the family unit. I think the reason why we have so much going on is because we have a breakdown in the family unit. You know, as the Bible said, you got to have a strong foundation. So if you ain't got that strong foundation at the house, you know, nothing is going to work. But here's my other point that I want to make, though. Just because it's not in the house, it's somebody, somewhere, some male in that family taking, you know, take the child under their wing. You know, show the child what needs to be done. But now, you know, I'm 49, so I remember growing up, it was the whole neighborhood. You couldn't do anything without the neighborhood, you know, seeing and handling you. But
that's
now,
real.
You know, we got these young parents out there now. They don't want you saying nothing to their child.
At all.
You know, and we got to get back to the basics of what, you know, what we used to come up with our grandmothers and great grandmothers. You know, I bet if you used to get off the air right now and call a couple of your friends and ask them, how often do you sit down and read with your child?
A lot of them probably couldn't even answer that, my good brother.
No, they couldn't. They couldn't because you got video games, you got the computers, you know, you got the cable television, you know, and we're not, you know, at one time that was a must. You couldn't do anything unless you read a book to your parents or whatever, you know.
All
education.
Of that.
Right.
You're taking us all the way back, my brother. I'm 49 too. So, yeah, I'm feeling you.
Yeah.
That's the way it was, you know. The bottom line, everybody took care of the neighborhood. If you did something in the neighborhood, you got your butt whooped, then you got one when you got to the house, you know.
Yeah.
I think that our government, and this is my perspective on what you have brought to the table, I think our government broke that structure down years ago when they set in place and told the parents back in the day, well, you can't chastise your child. Because if you do that, your child is obligated to call me on the phone and scream child
exactly.
abuse. If mama said you can't go outside, you know what I mean? It's a reason mama said you can't go outside. You must got some chores to do, or you must got something to do at the house, homework or something. And some of these kids got that twisted with child abuse and I want to do what I want to do, you know?
And then
the structure got broke down when the government allowed our children to get on the phone if they get mad at the parents, you know. And don't get me wrong, it's a lot of, you know, abuse goes on with children, with men, with women, the whole nine yards. But if you calling me saying your parents have, you know, abused you in any kind of way, okay, this needs to be totally looked into. And if you turned out to be a liar, well, you need to be down in juvenile hall somewhere where you can understand that lying is not permitted when it comes to your parents trying to chastise you. So I think that's a double-edged sword when the government came with that one.
Well, you know, here we go. And this is what I have to say about that. When the government came with that little crazy law right there, what did we do? We didn't try and fight it.
at all.
We didn't try and fight. We didn't say anything, but okay. So now it's something we have to do. That right. So now it's something we have to deal with. But like anything else, there's always a right way around it. You know, and you know, I used to say, you know, I used to listen to people say, well, I'm going to put my child in timeout. I'm going to do this. And I used to tell them all the time, why are you putting that child in timeout? I say, because this is what you're doing when you put that child in timeout. Number one, you're giving that child a chance to think about something else he can be doing when he come out that corner. You see what I'm saying? Number two, you're not really punishing him at all.
Because he's just chilling. Saying,
yeah. He's just chilling. He's resting right now. Thinking
exactly.
of other
but you know,
I want to go back on the thing that he stated before about, you know, how the community used to be. You know, I have a lot of conversations with people, and, you know, it's amazing, you know, because I did, you know, 731 motivational speeches all around Ohio. And mm-hmm. I tell you one thing, you know, you hear it all the time where people jump up that's our age and say, I remembered in this time when things was like and when a village was a village, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
The key thing is that the problem is, it's just like, you know, what Brother Boyd said, is that the government has stripped away from the rights away from everybody. Now, when I go inside the jails and do mediations, they have no power. You say the wrong thing to those kids, you get fired. If you say the wrong thing to those kids, now they're attacking you at home. So these prison guards or youth prison guards, when they at home, you know you ain't going to remember everybody. You walking down the street, you know, next minute you know you see these kids at the store. They following you at home. Next minute you know they're jumping on your son, shooting at your son, or doing all kind of stuff to your house. So
Amen.
What happens is that the community is looking at that and they saying, well, we have no support. We can't do anything because the only thing that you left for us to do is kill these kids. And that's what I always said. What's happening right now, you remember the movie Children of the Corn when
Jesus was
killing adults? That's where we're going right today because the kids have too much power. Anytime that you give some 8 to 13-year-old dummies power to control community, I mean, man, I have sat at my window and looked at kids right in the middle of the street and made cars go all around them. That's too much power. Hell to the no. Run their asses over. Because and that's the only way they're going to get up out of the way. Like I said, don't play football if you're not willing to get tackled.
You know what? I'm glad you said that because I got a 9-year-old son, and he already knows. I told him, if you're going to call, when I get finished, you call who you want to. In fact, I will take you down there to see them. But before you get out my car, that's right. But before I drop you off and you get out my car, I'm going to beat you again just for making me having to drive you down here.
Right.
You know, he's 9, but he has that understanding. He has that understanding.
Old school understanding, you know?
Yeah. You know, and, you know, sometimes I just look and I just shake my head, especially at our young people, because you see them walking down the street, you know, the pants hanging off, like the young man said, the pants hanging off, you know, all these tattoos, these piercings. I just look at what is it coming to? I wouldn't hire you like that. You can't. That's why they can't get a job, because you're coming in looking all crazy. You got purple hair, orange hair. Who wants you working for them? Yeah. You know?
And nobody wants to be grown nowadays. You know what I mean? You know, when we was coming up and mama say, okay, well, since you want to be grown, you go ahead and get on out and do what you do. You know what I mean? Nowadays, these kids don't want to be grown. They say they grown. You know what I mean? But they don't want to be grown because they don't even want to take care of the shit they need to take care of because, like Brother Billings said, we go back to what he said. Everybody is mixed up with all these wrong guys and all these wrong women. And then when your parents trying to tell you that ain't the right way to go, you dismiss what your parents say, but you come right back to your parents' face. You know what I mean? Well, you should be asking the female or the guy something, not your parents because you want to be grown, remember?
Yep.
You got more males in the world than you got men, and you got more females in the world than you got women.
Amen.
First of all, in order for a man to be a man, you know what I'm saying, a woman got to let him be that man, okay? Don't call him a punk because or weak because he don't crack you upside your head. You know, they go to their girlfriend, they're like, girl, I just called him a, you know, a B-I-T-C-H, and he didn't do nothing. He weak. You know, I want a weak man. You see what I'm saying? But then when, like I tell him, once he start on you, and he see that that power, okay, okay. But now he's like, oh, wow, this feel good. Now you done made him into a monster, and now you want to stop it. Now he's abusive, and he all sorts of different things now. And as far as the females on the side of the, a lot of women crown themselves, or should I say females, excuse me, a lot of females crown themselves as queens and things like that. Who crowned you that? You got to earn that title. You don't crown yourself that when you can't find you a good man. Because, like I said, the bottom line is, you got to be able to go out there. A good woman should understand the difference on how to play a game. Let's talk about the woman. Because that's where, like I said, that's the root of the family structure to me. Now, also,
right.
The men, that's right now, at least now. I mean, we know that the man was supposed to have been the structure and the foundation of home. But unfortunately, it ain't like that now because many of us is in prison and we got criminal records and they stripped us away from being men because we can't get a job, we can't provide for our children, we can't do anything but lay over and die. And that's what they try and make us up out of. People like me and Brother Boyd and so many other people that have came out of the penitentiary and have changed their game and start doing the right thing out here in life, you know, we still catch it. Society still want us to just not do anything, and they still put that pressure on us. So, therefore, the woman don't respect a person that can't get a job. Now, should I say a female? A woman going to speak it out, and she's going to help you, build you up, and help you get to that Super Bowl. Like I said, in order to get to the Super Bowl, you got to have a Super Bowl caliber team.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But I want to go back. I want to go back to something real fast. Well, I hear an echo. Okay. What I want to say is, you got you know, a lot of times you got these parents, these young parents out there partying with the kids. So how the kids going to leave the house when the parent in there smoking weed and drinking with them and then going to the club with them?
Man,
you
hit that on the head, brother. You hear me? I say the same thing, man. When I was down the way, I heard this young lady tell her son he couldn't be no more than about 15 or 16. And she say, well, don't forget to bring mama back a blunt in the 40. I'm looking at this shit. I'm like, man, this shit crazy. You know what I mean? So I really started really paying attention to that because, you know, I really wasn't out there in the streets like that. You know, I've been left the streets alone, but when I go in certain areas, you know what I mean, and I see this and I hear this, I'm like, wow, you know, I could never, never do that at my mama's house, you know what I mean?
No.
Or my mother wouldn't dare say no mess like that to us, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
and that's why I say the game got twisted, man.
Well, you know, even with that, you know, I always talk about that, you know what I'm saying, because I work with a lot of these social service agencies, too. And I look at it like this, you know, like I see these guys, you know, buying drugs from these kids and, you know, clapping hands with them and stuff like that. What you're doing, you're endorsing that behavior. So, you know what, it was a dude that stayed across the street from me. And, you know, hey, my brother, how you doing? I told him like this. I said, you're not my brother, man. I don't mess with nobody that buy drugs from kids. I don't get out like that. It's the same thing with these females. These females sleeping with these kids, 13, 14 years old, these drug addict females, and they're giving these boys HIV, syphilis, herpes, and they're taking it and giving it back to these little girls. And it's a vicious cycle. And that's why I said when, you know, us as adults point a finger at them, they need to point three back at us because we allow these type of things to happen. You know what I'm saying? We allow our churches to dummy us down. We allow our politicians to dummy us down. As many senior citizens that go in there and vote, that's who the politicians prey on. All they got to do is feed them. And they check the box for them, and they're killing the rest of the community. They go into those high-rises, and that's where they target those elderly people at. And they're killing the rest of us in the community. Because they vote in ignorant. They vote on, they don't even know this person. They don't even interview this person. Don't even see what history. People are coming, integrity, oh, I'm a fighter, I'm this, I'm that. What you get is an arrogant, cocky knucklehead that don't know anything. They say education. What you got is an educated fool. Because any time that you got a city council or a senate, whether it's federal or state, that cannot make good decisions, you got, what, 12 to 16 to 32 of them that can't make proper decisions for community, then obviously you got a bunch of idiots. Exactly. Simple as that. So what you got is the educated fool.
I wanted to just mention a couple things, too, going back to kids. You know, you can't start teaching them when they're 9, 10, 11 years old. You need to teach them when they're 1 and 2 and 3. And you need, you know, that's when they learn respect, and that's when they learn discipline, and that's when they, you know, that's when they learn most of their vocabulary and everything that they learn. You know, so parents really need to focus on their children when they're young and not, as they grow older, try to be their friends, but continue to be the parent, be the educator, you know, be the parent. Like you said, there's too many parents that want to be their friends' kids, hang out with them, drink with them, get high with them, and then kids lose all respect for them because, you know.
Well,
Sister Boyd, I say one thing about this is that anytime that you really got a really overwhelming number of children out here. Every time I drive down the street, I just see a whole bunch of little nappy-head little boys. And when I say nappy-head, they really nappy-head. They clothes dirty. They draws dirty because, you know, you see they draws. They dirty. They socks is dirty. They shoes is dirty. And you know what they are. To 9 times out of 10, they go into people's houses in order to survive. You see what I'm saying? So what you got is these parents out here, well, how would you say? I would say distributors. I can't even give them a privilege and call them parents. Let's say distributors that's having these kids that don't know how to parent themselves. Like they said, they still want to party. Exactly. They still want to hang out there. Yeah, they don't want to sit up there and nurture their kids, teaching them their ABCs, teaching them how to call.
Yeah, but they teach them how to booty shake, though.
Yeah, they look at YouTube, they sitting up there drinking and putting alcohol in their baby's bottles and doing all kind of little silly, dumb, ignorant, trifling things with their kids, and it's okay. You know, and that's the thing that's bothering me, that as a society, you know, we accept these type of things.
Well, and a lot of it comes back to society. You know, we know for sure that drugs and alcohol play a big impact on family relationships. So does the prison industrial complex. You know, our men are taken away from their fathers and their wives and can't, you know, the women are have to fend for themselves, and there's a lot of respect loss on both ends and a lot of anger and a lot of, you know, lost children because they don't have mom or they don't have dad, and maybe they're lost to the system or to the drugs or the alcohol. And, I mean, then we go back to the gangster rap when all that started, and then you started seeing all the women dancing in the videos and just very, you know, disrespecting themselves. And you know, society just kind of accepts it instead of standing up and saying, no, we're not going to tolerate this. And it just goes on and on.
Yeah, it's definitely a vicious cycle on how things is going. To be totally honest with you, in my opinion, as much as I've been dealing with these kids, I have a program called Rent a Dad for Single Moms. And that program is a program designed to help single mothers that's having problems with their children going in the wrong direction, right? And we pretty much come in and, you know, we check up their bedroom. You know, it's pretty much like a scare straight, but it's a mentoring once we get them in line. We go to school with them and all sorts of different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the guys is like bouncers. You know, so when you're talking about a male figure or a man figure, you know, it's the difference between a man and a male, as we know.
Exactly.
But a man is not going to back down off a boy, okay?
Right.
Because it's the, like the saying said, it takes a man to teach a man how to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, when you come up in there and you're setting a tone with him, he's not going to bark you down and bully you and tell you, man, get the F up out of my face. Oh, no, you got this game twisted, homie.
We're going to get an understanding. Right now, we have to go in the basement and box.
Yeah.
Because that's what these kids need. You got to be put in your place, and that's what these kids need, a community. If the community right now start coming out on the street, like in Cleveland, they had a blackout. And when the blackout happened, I seen people coming out on their porch with their firepower. I seen them pulling up in front of their business with their firepower. Do you realize there wasn't no homicides and no crime? Now, I ain't going to say no crime, but I'm going to say it wasn't no homicides. Now, you would have thought that would have been the devil's night, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it, that showed me if a community step up and stop letting these dumb police tell them what to do, then they start, you know, should I say, not so much of the police, but the politicians.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? About talking about taking the law in your own hand. We need to take the law in our own hand because you can't do the job. They
exactly.
always say, well, we can't arrest our way through the problem and things like that. Of course you can't arrest your way. So why don't you play your position and let me raise my family?
Exactly.
Instead you sitting up there criminalizing our children, giving them criminal records, now you're making the situation worse.
You know what?
Kids that are 5 and 6, 7, 8 years old going to jail for silly things. There's a thing I saw on Facebook yesterday or today that I commented on, and it was a 3-year-old deaf boy that is signing his name, and the way he says his name, he has his pointer finger and middle finger crossed over and kind of shakes it back and forth. That's his
mm-hmm.
name.
Right.
And they are trying to say that is looks like a gun, and they want his parents to not let him use that and change his name. Can you believe that?
You know, today our society has become, what I say, too politically correct. And that's
exactly.
all it is. You
that's
know, everybody
a child that doesn't know anything about a gun.
Right,
yet.
Right.
That's
you
his
know,
name.
Just crazy. But that's what it is today. That is what it is. And that's the scary part about it. It really is.
Well, yeah, when the politicians and the government can pretty much dictate to you what you can and cannot do, and that's the way it's becoming.
Well, you know what? The only reason why, because we let them dictate to us.
That's
you know,
right.
that goes back to the education part. You know, like he was saying earlier, you know, most people, like you say, you feed the elderly, they go and check the block. If they're Democrats, only thing they see is Democrat, they check in the box. You Republican,
exactly.
I see Republican, you check in the box. But nobody has done
exactly.
any research behind anybody. You don't know
right.
what these individuals stand for.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
you know, and we are really bad about, you know, reading and educating ourselves unless it's something that has to do with basketball or
rap music.
Yeah, rap music or something like that. But the basic stuff that we need to get ahead of the game, we won't do it.
We won't even look at it.
Yeah, we don't even want to put in
lazy.
Work.
That ain't
that's
cool.
Being lazy, like the villain
that's
said. They don't think that's cool.
Yeah.
That's being lazy. As a lazy voter, you don't want to do no research. Like I said, being dumb is cool. Like he said, the only thing you want to do is, if you ask the kids what, you know, sing the lazy, lyrics to a Gucci Man's latest single. I guarantee you they can quote every lyric in there, but they can't go up in there and quote the ABCs at all.
You're right.
They can tell you everything on Facebook and can show you how to get on Facebook and make your Facebook page. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you tell them read this math problem, and I'll get back with you in a few minutes and let me know what that is. When you get back in the room, they still sitting there with the pencil twirling, you know what I mean? But then
now,
you just switch
you know,
it
that's,
up and say, hey, tell me that rap song that Ice Cube made. Oh, I got that.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's funny because my child, he's going to the third grade, right? He goes
yeah.
to third grade this year. So we was in the store, you know, I was buying a book, Powernomics, and some other books I needed to read. Well,
right.
I wanted to read, not needed to, but I wanted to. But, you know, so he brought me this math book. So I'm looking at the book. You know, and I notice it says fifth grade. So I'm like, okay. So I'm like, you sure you want this book? You know, the only thing he sees is the math book. I'm like, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Okay. So we get home. I say, when I started reading my book, I said, well, go on and pull out that math book and start working on some of them problems. Right? He looks at me, he goes, yeah, this is the fifth grade. I say, so you in the third grade, that means you'll be ahead of the game. Get hot.
One of the other things, too, that really bothers me, too, you know, that I always say when I'm, you know, talking to these parents and, you know, the community, I always say that if you got more Nicki Minaj than your child got in their collection, that's an issue. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times that, you know, you can't tell a child not to smoke weed and you smoke dope. I say that, saying to say, you can't tell somebody not to do something and you're doing something a lot worse than that. They're not going to respect you when they do that. I think that a lot of times that as a community that, you know, like I said, from the power of voting and things like that, after everything that people have been through in their life, we still don't get the message. You know, I look at the Arabic community, the Asian community, and the Indian community. And I look at how hard those people work and how they put their plan together. And one of the things that I always tell people, a man without a plan could be used by a man with a plan. And this life is see a fool, use a fool. And the bottom line is, as black men and women, we do not have a plan. Our game is just to have fun. We just want to be entertainers. That's all we want to do. Every time I talk to these kids, I want to be a rapper. I want to be a movie star. Well, Dig, man, don't you think about a job? You know what I'm saying? I have two kids now, the Ohio State Troopers here, be looking for young black males. This is the only job, to my knowledge, that's out here looking for young black males black males or black women without a minority, should I say. You know, not just black, but, you know, looking for these people without, you know, all you got to have is a high school diploma.
Wow.
And, you know, I don't like law enforcement. What is you saying?
Well,
so this is going back to the dummy down about the mentality of the dummy down. Now, here you've got some dudes sitting up here. Now, you getting paid at the Ohio State Trooper, I think, $42,000 starting off. Now, can you imagine at the age of 21 years old, $42,000 and with overtime, you'll be making $50,000 in the first year. Every year for 5 years, your salary go up $3,000. They pay full tuition to your college. They pay for your uniform. They pay for everything. So all you need to do is go to work, and you should be your life, your health, all your insurance is paid up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you tell me how many jobs is out here knocking down the door looking for people. They got recruiters out here looking for people. And you have these dudes talking about, I don't like Walter. Now, if you notice, now who told on T.I.? One of his dudes.
The one in his butt, yeah.
And this dude got a record out talking about snitching. And he told on T.I.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? All these dudes, if you really pay attention to them, they up here talking about what's snitching and this, that, and third. And they sitting up there telling everything. Well, you know, I don't snitch, but you sitting up there telling everything about the business on YouTube and stuff like that. Ain't that snitching too? Amen. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, you got dudes out here, man, that's stealing other dudes' credibility by stealing their names. The game is just turned around, man, and it's just completely, totally disrespectful. Like I tell people, man, you dudes don't know the streets. Because the streets is not this new wave stuff. It's just not. And I'm not going to fall into the element of this new wave garbage. Because this new wave of garbage is just that. You know what I'm saying? Okay, take for instance, you know, like I tell people, you know, if you go out, let's say, like if you became a state trooper and people say, oh, man, you the police now. So you a grown-ass man that got a family that you got to take care of. You going to worry about what some fool on the street is saying? Some nigga that's standing out on the block selling drugs. Oh, he's talking about you the police now. Come on, man. That's what I'm telling people, man, about, you know, knowing street cred. Street cred ain't about standing on no damn corner selling no drugs and waiting for no fool to ride up and blow your head away.
Amen, brother.
The average drug dealer is making minimum wage. The average drug dealer. They ain't even making no bank. These dudes is making tennis shoe money.
it ain't like the old days, you know?
No.
No, it's not the old days. Equity adulthood down. So how is you sitting out here making, it's only a small few dudes really out here making bread, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the game is, man, just like, and that's why I respect Jay-Z so much. No matter what they say that he has done or anything like that, look at what that dude have turned his life around. He said, man, there ain't no more of this throwback stuff. When I do that, that's time. It's a time and place. He done flipped his game and his image all the way around. You
mm-hmm.
think that Jay-Z give a damn about what these little street little fools got to say about him? Do you think that Puffy... To show you, man, I was in the penitentiary, and you know that dude, Mr. Bentley, that was with Puffy, he's one of his. Okay, the dudes was like, man, that nigga corny, man. He corny. He carrying Puffy's umbrella, man. I ain't carrying that dude umbrella. Do you know how much Mr. Bentley was making for doing that?
A lot.
Mr. Bentley was making $360,000 per year plus travel. You know that he don't have to pay for anything because he's flying a Puffy's jet. He's flying, he's riding around in Puffy's cars and limousines because he's conducting Puffy's business. So
yes,
that $300,000 that he makes is going straight to his account because all expenses is paid unless he buys clothes. You dig? But see, this is the image about the ignorant Negro that runs around out here. That's why one of my motivational speeches was "Nigga Think."
Oh my God!
I did that down in Akron, Ohio. I'm sorry, I have to put it out there, but "Nigga Think."
Hey, I told you to put it out there, didn't I, for a building? I told you to put it out there tonight. Put it out there, man. We got to get it going. It is what it is, man.
I'm sorry, I had to drop this knowledge from old niggas to young niggas. Let's give an example to the NBA. I tell people LeBron James single-handedly destroyed the NBA.
Uh-oh, look at
that. Well, how's that? You know, Cleveland didn't surround him with a team. Well,
mm-hmm.
I don't call running back-to-back best records close to the Chicago Bulls record a flop team. He didn't do that by himself.
Thank you.
Number one. Okay, so when him and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh got together, and they partnered up. Now, guess what? Everybody want to do that now. Everybody want an easy road. Everything, Michael Jordan and them, the Patrick Ewing, hell, look at them, man. Those great players did not get no championships. How many great players went through the league and didn't get no championships?
You're right.
Didn't Hakeem Olajuwon didn't get one? He didn't get one either, did he?
And what's that other guy named who played for the Arizona team
Look,
back
Barkley
in the day?
Look, Barkley didn't get one either.
No, exactly. You see what I'm saying?
Barkley. He never won ever.
Okay, so my point is, these dudes didn't go trying to jump on Chicago's bandwagon or nothing else. You see what I'm saying? So the thing about it, so all of a sudden this dude feel like, oh, my God, I just got to partner up with my friends because that's the only way I'm going to win. That do not make you a damn great player. Now, I'm going to point out something else to tell you why LeBron is a damn fool.
No.
Because I'm going to show you reason. First of all, think about it. Cleveland had a stacked team. All they would have had to do is filter off those major salaries and bring Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade here in Cleveland. Now, I'm going to tell you what they should have did if they were smart. Now, LeBron had a life-size billboard, a building-size billboard at home, right? Dwayne Wade ain't got that, and he had a championship before LeBron did. Did he have a lifestyle anything of him in Miami? No. Did Chris Bosh have it in Toronto? No. Did any other player in the NBA have that other than Michael Jordan?
No.
Man, the only one had that is LeBron James. Now, if they would have came back to Cleveland, guess what? They know Dan Gilbert was opening up these casinos here. They knew he was using him. So if he would have been smart, he said he wanted to be the first black billionaire athlete, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he would have stayed here and told Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh to say, hey, man, why don't y'all come down here? Let's win some championships down here, and when that dude gets the laws passed to open up casinos, we open up our own casino.
My man.
Do you think that they would have went to Dan Gilbert's casino? Do you think that they would have went to LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and all that? Man, LeBron already ran the state of Ohio. If that fool would have stayed here and told those idiots to come down here, they would have been caked out. Not only would they would have been champions, they would have been caked out. If they would have opened up a casino there, they would have called Carmelo and all their NBA friends. Do you know that? You know the Cleveland Casino, the Horseshoe, made 300 some odd million the first month. Now imagine what LeBron and them would have made. You talking about you want to look at what Jay-Z did. That's why I said LeBron is a damn fool. And ain't nobody going to be able to tell me anything different. Now, y'all need to tell me if I'm wrong or not. Now, tell me if that wouldn't have worked for him. What damn giver would have said, oh, no, LeBron can't open up no casino. Why can't he? LeBron got all those problems. He got Warren Buffett, a powerful billionaire. Hey, man, I need a loan. If he didn't have enough money. But you know, with him, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, got the rest of his friends to invest in that, they would have had it, man.
Without a doubt.
Come on, fellas. That's what I'm talking about young and dumb, okay? Mm. So from the league, if you're looking at how these kids is getting involved in everything, they whining now, okay, what you had, Carmelo got all these coaches fired. Got people fired and everything, and he wanted to do the game thing. And then here you got Dwight Howard that did all this crazy stuff. Come on, man. It just come to a time, man. When we going to be men, man? You know what I'm saying? Especially smart men. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? From hip-hop to NBA to all the way down to the streets, man. When is everybody going to wake up?
Bottom line, brother. Talk it, brother Bella.
So I just had to drop that sign, man. That's been heavy on my chest, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I love LeBron, man. You know what I'm saying? On how much he did get in Cleveland, because I used to run in the house and look at that cat play, man. He was the most exciting thing that Cleveland had to offer, because I'm going to tell you, truth speaking, Cleveland is a shithole. And I say that. It's nothing here. There's nothing here. The politicians is here. It's completely dummy down. It's terrible. You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of black politicians that's in place that can't even figure out their mathematics here.
Wow.
And people do not hold them accountable. And I will say that. They are dumb. Many of them. Not all of them, but many of them. Most of them. And I will say that. And I will go on record and say that. They are dumb. Because any time that you got some black politicians here that dictate and control the way that people vote here, and blacks can't get a job here, all the major construction contracts, you can't even get black folks on those contracts to work.
Wow.
That's you see what I'm saying? So how can a black man go back to his family and be respected when that black man can't get a job? You see what I'm saying? So well, here we go when we're talking about the structure of essence. What woman is going to respect a man that can't get a job? What woman is going to take care of a man that can't get a job? You see what I'm saying? You can't hate that woman for not wanting to, you know, sit up there and, you know, wipe your boo-boo when you pop. You got to be a man and sit up there and try and get yours. But some of us is not strong as me and Brother Boyd that came out of the penitentiary and went through all kind of trials and tribulations. Some people ain't going to support their family like our Brother Boyd ran into his wife and how I ran into the girl I got. Some people is just not going to be supportive like that. Most people are just going to come out, and it's going to break them down. They're going to commit suicide, or they're going to kill their wife, and they're going to kill their girlfriend, which that's what's going on up here right now. A lot of people is killing their girlfriends, and they're killing their kids because they can't get a job, and they can't get a life, so therefore they feel like it's nothing to live for.
And that's what's going on. And like you said, Brother Bill, and with me, you know, even as a youngster, you know, I've always been self-reliant. You know what I mean? And that's always all my life. You know what I mean? I come from the street world. I started running the streets at 10 years old. You know what I'm saying? When I seen my stepfather get murdered at 9 in front of my mother, then I got involved with the gang life at 10, and I lived that life all the way until I was almost 30 years old. You know what I mean? And I've always been self-reliant. I've never looked for no woman to take care of me. I've never looked for my mother to take care of me. I left my mother's home when I was 14 years old and got my first apartment in an older homeboy's name, you know?
So through my hustle days, I was never a dumb hustler. I was never dumb on the streets. I was always a guy that was willing to read, write, learn, and I learned from the older G's, you know. I never drank, smoked, none of that either. You feel me? So that's why I try to promote self-reliance out here with these cats. You feel me? You can't wait for the government to give you nothing. You know, the Internet, like I said, is the most powerful thing going. You know, it's used for good and bad. But you can get out here nowadays when me and you was coming up, Bruh Villain, what no Internet, you know, what no PayPal account, you know what I mean? you can sell whatever you want to sell. You can sell hats, shoes, drawers, you feel me? Because that's a global hustle. And that's why I tell cats, that ain't no Cincinnati, Cleveland, or Detroit, Arizona. That's a global hustle, homie, you feel me? And the only thing you got to do is promote what you do. And if a person like your socks, they going to buy them socks. If they like your hats, they going to buy them hats. So I try to just push these young cats to, you know, learn what's really real out here. The street hustle, that shit is dead and gone, man, because you got the
dead
DEA, you got the Jack Boys, you got the Fed, you got the CIA. You got so many damn people to worry about in that shit now. That's too much of a headache. You feel me? With that headache on nobody. that headache is too big.
You know what?
I love that title.
You know, being a veteran myself, I say this is what we need to do with these young people today. If they don't have a scholarship to go to school, okay, make them go into the military for at least 2 years. Just 2 years. But in that time, they get disciplined. They have a chance to go to school. Well, the military will pay for your school. You know what I'm saying? That's all they do. Just give them that point to where they have a little bit of discipline and structure, just a little bit. And who knows, some of them may actually love them. I mean, since they want to be out here shooting each other, fine, put them somewhere where they can at least go to a range and shoot or go overseas and shoot at some real people. You know,
right.
I mean,
you know,
that's
what?
Just the way I think about it. You know, being that I was a veteran, that worked for me. Yeah.
I think that is a – at first I was about to disagree with you on that, but then you know what? When you said and I got to think about that, you know what? I will 110% agree with you. I think that they need to go. If you get convicted, or should I say, if you get caught up in the – because, see, that'll scare these little punks. Because, see, those boys over there playing with some serious AK-47, hand grenades, mortars, and all that type of stuff. It's serious over there.
That's just what y'all know. They're playing with a lot more, trust me.
I can imagine. They ain't playing over there. So, you know, if you want to call yourself a man, a gangster and everything, oh, you can go over there with probably your typical M16, whole 32-round clip.
Well, the whole 20-round clips. But, I mean, depends on what job you get when you go in. Heck, you can go down there with a tank if you want to.
whatever they put them in, put them out there, and like you said, that'll give them structure, that'll give them balance, and those other punks, they'll be sitting up there looking like, oh, man, you know, I'm going to straighten up because I don't want to go over there. I guarantee you will have a change so fast, it'll make, because right now these punks is dominating these youth prisons.
Mm-hmm.
They're dominating them because the staff can't do anything to them. And like I said, it's just like a coward or a bully. A bully is a coward. You know what I'm saying? I was a punk kid, man. If I would have had a man, I had my uncle. I remember my mother got me mad one day. I punched a hole in the wall. Now, my uncle was getting ready to buy my mother's house, right? Mm-hmm. I punched a hole in the wall, you know, on that, you know, trying to be tough. Now, he came over, man, and he looked. Now, this dude was known to shoot people.
Mm-hmm.
That dude came over there. He said, listen, man, you punch another hole in this wall. No, well, he actually told me, I'm getting ready to buy this house, and you know I'm getting ready to buy this house. You punch another hole in this wall, we're going to have problems. That's all he said.
That's all he needed to say, though, right?
You think, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. A punk know how to respect. I don't care who you is. You can be mental health or whatever. A punk know how to respect. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you a full-fledged gangster, you ain't going to back off of nothing.
Nothing.
But that's what I feel. And I'd be the first to say, hey, I backed down off of him. Because I knew what he would have did. And trust me, I know Smith & Wesson didn't just make one. Smith & Wesson, I had mine too. But it ain't the fact about it's the gun. It's the fact about the mentality of the issue.
Thank you.
That's what the key is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, man, I agree with you there. And if I legislate, that's why I say they're idiots. They choose to want to keep things together. Like today, me and the senior citizen today was talking about the bed bug issue that she has going on in her building.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, like, we was talking about the government. Who you think all of a sudden, where in the hell did these things come from?
Thank you. All of a sudden, they just pop up.
I've been on this earth 42 years. You guys say y'all been on 49?
Yeah.
So let's weigh up everything from Mrs. Boyd to Mr. Boyd to the brother. What's your name, brother?
Eric.
Okay, let's weigh it up. Now, I never knew nothing about no. I always knew sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite. That's all I knew about bed
right.
bugs. Do anybody know anything else about any bed bugs biting them, anything like that? Check me if I'm wrong now.
No.
So we know damn well that these people brought that over here. We know damn well that
right.
people brought that over here. They didn't just wake up out of the garden and just start, you know, sprawling all over the damn place, messing up every damn body's furniture and messing up everybody and making everybody life a living hell. It didn't just happen like that. Look at New York. New York is having hell with that.
Wow.
So all I'm saying is that the balance that, I mean, you know, to be totally honest with you, and I'm just going to say this, our government will never let us live in peace and harmony. It would never do that. We would never ever have that.
Look, it was never set up. It was never set up for that.
Exactly. It'll never happen. And I don't want to say that. I really don't want to say that. But hey, you know, I'm a realist, just like what I have on this phone. Everybody is realist here. We know that the United States of government. If you try to look at what the Black Panthers and everybody that tried to do something positive. Even look at Hoffa when he tried to start the union. They still haven't found him. They probably got Hoffa in a can
here's the thing. This country, it goes way back to the 1700s when they actually had Republican Party and Democratic parties back then too. The only difference was the Democratic Party today was the Republican Party back then. A lot of people don't know that. And as the years went on, especially with Dwight Eisenhower and then the 60s, that's when everything began to change, where the Republican Party started, you know, going one way, going to the right, I think they were to say, and the Democrats started going to the left. And that's when most Black people started going Democratic, because that's where they was getting the jobs at. See, but if you go back all the way into the history of this country, there has always been a division, a line. Always, and it's not going to change. It's not going to change. You know, if anything was going to change, it would have happened these last 4 years. But instead of changing, it got worse.
Amen.
And you know what's so bad about it? They didn't hide it. They didn't hide it. They let you know what their agenda was going to be, and they went forward with their agenda. And they still doing it. How many people can get up there and say, we're going to kick the president out of office? How many times have you heard that?
All the time.
Huh? You got Rush Limbaugh calling the president a thug. I mean, really? You know, and
there's
I listen.
No,
you know,
respect.
I. Huh?
There's no respect. And he was
no.
the president of the United States. Black,
look,
white,
they,
yellow, purple, whatever. It's still the president. Where's the respect that people should have?
Look, they still calling George W. President Bush. But every time you talk about President Obama, Obama. They just say Obama.
Right.
You know, it's little things like that that people, you know, people are not paying attention, you know.
No,
and the thing about it, everybody was happy because we had a quote-unquote Black president in office. Well, okay. But then it led to the misconception that he was only going to do things for the Black folk. Well, he can't because he has a whole country to run.
Right.
And number two, he inherited not one, but two wars. Two wars.
That Bush started.
There's still got
right.
many more.
Yeah. And then,
well,
and then
they don't stand by.
And to top that off, we got civilian contractors.
For the things that have been happening for a lot of years already. I mean, our government has been so corrupt, and there have been so many things happening, and it's not because of President Obama. It's because of all the other presidents in the past who were white. So, you know, I for one, I'm white, but I'm tired of the race card.
Thank you.
I agree, you know, and Sister Boyd, I tell you this, though, and I have to say this, one thing for certain, two things for sure. Now, this election coming, you know, it is important because Romney get up in there, boy, it's going to be hell to pay, I tell you that. And I really, you talking about hell, I don't want no more pain, man. You know, look at them gas prices and everything else. But I
want to
say this. Let me say this. At Cuyahoga County, and I'm just going to say in Cuyahoga County, I made a pledge, and I go out in the community and I say this. I am no longer voting for nobody black in Cuyahoga County. You want to guess what, Negro? Nah. You're going to suffer with me. I'm no longer voting for nobody black. I'm voting the only person I'm voting for, and it's not just because, like she said, it's about him being black and nothing like that. But the guy, if he wouldn't, I'm going to tell you, like, the unemployment benefits with the extensions that he kept, you know, giving out, if he wouldn't have kept doing that, man, I personally would have been in trouble. So I hope, because I'm going to be honest with you, I did not vote for him last year. I did not even check the box because, see, I'm just like she said, I'm not checking the box because you're black.
Right.
That's a mirage to me. In fact, you're going to do more harm to me than, you know, what a white man would.
Exactly.
So I would feel like, now that I've seen what he represents, now I know that everything that he, I'm big on this expungement thing. Give us back our life. You know, I understand that everything that Obama do can't reflect on and revolve around Tuan Billings and the millions of other brothers and sisters out here that got criminal records. I understand that every issue can't revolve around, man, to make me vote for him. I do understand. Like you said, it kind of trickled down, man. He only set a bit of a tone. It got to come from the federal senator, the state senator, to city, state representatives, to city council members, to mayors, to precinct committee people, to, you know, all the way down. It got to trickle all the way down. And unfortunately, those things just don't happen, and it would never happen because it's always going to be an imbalance there of jealousy, envy. You heard what, what's his name, what was that idiot name that was talking about he wished he could cut Barack's balls off?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that one.
What's his name? That fool, Reverend Jesse Jackson. See, y'all didn't see that? Did it?
Yeah.
CNN or whatever. One of those networks.
Open mic.
Yeah. And they did that on purpose. You know what I'm saying? They waited to, because they knew that he wasn't really representing what he claimed he represented. And they kept his mic live. And he's sitting up there with talking garbage. And they caught him saying that. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, what I'm saying is that this here, you know, as long as you got people like that out there, you know, that's jealous and envious, you know, whether they white or black, they always going to be an issue. So, I mean, I am going to vote for that man, you know what I'm saying? But I agree with, you know, Sister Boyd about this race card issue, you know what I'm saying? I got a lot of friends that, you know, that's white, and I got some friends that's black. Now, and I got friends that's Mexicans and Puerto Ricans and all sorts of different races. And when I look at an individual, I look at them as an individual. I don't look at them as a race. But when you start acting ignorant, you know what I'm saying? And you see, I don't have no problem in talking about niggas at all. I don't have no problem because, like I tell them, you know, when they ask, well, what is you? I'm that other kind of, you know, and I just say that other kind of. You know, you put that the other way, but I'm that other kind. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to sit up there and be, you know, because when you thinking the nigger word, some black folks get their head, they get nauseated when you say that. Oh, you know, that word and things like that. No, sister. No, because it's true. Anytime that when you go to bed, niggas wake up. When you go to work, that's when niggas, you know, go to bed. So their schedules is opposite of your schedule. Like, they'd be out at 3 or 4 in the morning yelling out, hey, nigga, yeah, hey, nigga, hey, hey, yeah, nigga. You know, problems. They'd be up in your house. You know what I'm saying? There's those blacking miles in your driveway. They're standing, they have the street blockers. They won't let you pass them. You tell me how many white folks can, I mean, black folks can say white folks have did that, that they can see that do that. I have never in my entire 42 years, I've never seen no white people do nothing. Some of this ignorant shit, ooh, excuse my French, some of this ignorant stuff that some of these ignorant Negroes do. I've never seen it. I've never seen them shoot up each other the way that we shoot up each other. I've never seen them go out there blocking up streets the way that we do. I've never seen them, hey, Hokey, hey. I've never seen that. I never seen them walk around and do this ignorant stuff, like I said, that we do. You know what I'm saying? So when you sitting up there talking about, you know, the N-word and things like that, and you try to play the white card talking about, well, the white people this, and the white man did it, the white man and this. I'm like, man, are you serious, man? The white man ain't tell you to take that gun and blow that dude away.
Thank you.
The white man didn't tell you to pick up that dope. You know, the white man, that he put it out there, it's up for you. It's just like cheese. Just like
there,
if any
go.
One of us was trying to catch a mouse. We put that
yeah,
cheese
sure.
there, and that damn mouse go and get it.
It's your
he put it there. He planted there.
Right.
So, you know,
and I'm going to back you up on that one. I'm going to back you up on that one, Bro Billin, because when I be speaking, when I go out to speak at places, I let the brothers know off the top. You know, you can kill that. The white man holding me down. You can kill that noise. I heard that when I was young. You feel me?
Thank you.
Kill that noise. And I'm gonna bring something to your attention like this. When Lincoln freed the slaves back in the old days, way before me and you was born. You feel me?
Come on.
Now, in our era of time, you know, we go back into enslaving our damn self because we want to be gangsters. We want to kill each other. You know what I mean? And you want to kill a man look just like you. You want to run up in a man's or woman's house look just like you. And like you said, my brother, you know, I ain't never been prejudiced because I got whites in my family. You know what I mean?
Right.
The bottom line is that when is it going to stop where a black man and a black woman stop enslaving their damn self when it comes to this gang brutality? You know what I mean?
And
when it comes to you killing each other, and like Brother Billy said, you know, you got a lot of women out here got more tattoos than guys got. You know what I mean? It's good for the artwork if that's what you do, but at the same time, get educated and stop wanting to be out here hanging with the homies, as you call them, and want to drink and smoke black and mild and not get your education, but you Ryan having 3 and 4 babies and shit. Then next thing you know, you got to ask people for every goddamn thing, except the man who you done had the baby by. You ain't asking him for shit, because guess what? He ain't got shit to give you but some dick, and that's it.
That's it.
Amen?
And
you hit the nail right on the head. Not only that, when you go back at the and you look at history, who killed Malcolm?
Amen.
Who killed Dr. King? Who had something to do with Dr. King's death?
I'm gonna run it to you like this, Bro Billy. Malcolm X got killed by his own damn people calling themselves Muslim because Elijah Muhammad got caught because he fucking all the women in his congregation and got all them damn kids in his congregation. So when Malcolm X found out, oh, this is a hoax. Let me go to Mecca and see what's really going on. You know what
you
I mean?
You know what? That's what happened.
It's a lie because real Muslims. It's Arabs. They come from over in Iran and all over there. That's real Muslims. A black man always wanted that old Negro song. You know what I mean? He had to belong. He had to start his own thing up. You know what I mean? And the bottom line is we must stop teaching hate because of some of that Muslim shit. They teach hate sometimes, you know? And Malcolm X found out all this shit is a hoax.
That's
and
right.
A black man killed him. Ain't no white man ran up in there and killed him. Elijah Muhammad had him killed, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah, because when he went to Mecca, that's when he realized he saw all different races, all different types
Thank
of people
you.
There, and they embraced it. They didn't run from him. They embraced him. You
right.
know, they embraced each other. So, yeah, he got the view like, wait a minute. So what we
right.
doing back there? Yeah, what we doing back there? Not right. So, you know,
right.
let me go back there and explain what's going on and how this should run. Of course, you know, you messing with another man's power then.
Right, and they
know?
Had him killed.
Yeah.
And that's
Elijah
what
Muhammad,
we have.
Yeah, Elijah Muhammad was doing the same shit my daddy was doing. My daddy called himself a goddamn preacher, and he fucking all the women in his congregation and had 8 women with 12 kids. So come on, man. How the hell are all you preachers running around and talking about I'm holier than thou, but you're going to bail every woman that says she got a problem. You feel what I'm saying? And you're going to say, when you're having a problem with your husband, just come see me, sister. Sister Wilson, and then we're going to talk about that.
They having a prayer
meeting.
Yeah, the next thing you know, he got his hands on Sister Wilson's knees in front of the
knee.
That's going in front
of the skirt,
amen?
Amen.
That's past the nasty and Deacon
Too Slick. Well, look, I know because my old man was a preacher too, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Thank you. Hey, that's why I said I'm not knocking all the brothers. Don't get me wrong. But my damn daddy was a preacher. He said he was a preacher. He said he was a prophet. But he prophesied all in the church. He got all the women, making all the money, and had 12 kids, and they took care of now one of them. They gave now one of them a dime.
Wow. That's what they do, and that's what I tell them. I say, you know, you look at church, you see mostly women that you see men. In fact, when I became ordained, you know, at first I was doing the reverend thing, and then I started feeling, I said, you know what, this ain't me. When I started attending the pastoral meetings and stuff like that, I said, man, you know, I'm still a street dude. So let me keep it real with myself. You know what I'm saying? So what I did is that, you know, my, you know, ministry comes in from the fruit of my labor. Jesus didn't go by the highways and byways and save my children's souls. He said he died on the cross for our sins. So in my assumption, I'm looking at, okay, well, I curse. You know, you screw out of wedlock. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, yeah, you do certain things. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm looking at. But then at the same time, that's why I had to drop that type of thing. I'm like, man, I ain't one of these, you know, property pimping ignorant Negroes.
You
so
know what?
Why should I have to?
Right. I'm sorry, go ahead and finish your thought.
No, I just was saying, you know, that I can't run around here, you know, like I said, you got the pastor nasties and the deacon two slicks and, you know, all of them, you know, and then you, these ignorant, here in Cleveland, you got all these funny face ignorant Negroes putting their face up on the billboards, lady did it with their wives, lady did it, and mistress did it. I mean, you know, all these different titles and Queen is, and I'm just saying, where in the world is Jesus at? Where is promoting the church? Why has got to be you, your ugly face, your ugly white face, up on a billboard?
You know what?
You know what I'm
I know exactly what you said because I say the same thing. You know what, though? I'm going to tell you about this ministry thing. You know, and like, no, because what? I got, well, besides me, I'm the only one that's not a preacher in the family, so. And like I tell them, you know, I ministry means a whole bunch of things. It doesn't mean I have to be standing in somebody's church behind a pulpit to get the message across, because that's not what I'm for. See what I'm saying? That's not what I'm for. And that's where a lot of these folk get mixed up at, because only thing they looking at is the money they can. Think about these big old churches, man. I mean. It's amazing. You know, some of them cats get $30,000-$40,000 just to go to another church. And I remember when I was a kid, I remember driving the church bus and we drove to another church and was lucky to get a love offering. But you know, these cats make it $30,000-$40,000. I'm like, really?
Look, you know what I do, Dr. Crumplo Dollar.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what though?
You know damn well that ain't that fool's name.
You know what, though? I ain't mad at Clefro because he handled his business when his daughter stepped up to him. I ain't mad at him.
I like him, but I tell you one thing, that Negro know how to get money.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't hate nobody. See, that's the thing about it. Like, that goes back to what I'm saying. See a fool, use a fool. See, if you want to be dumb enough to patronize that when you know better, how can you hate the player?
That's
it's just
right.
Like, you know, you got a woman or a man that's cheating on you, and you go after the person that's, you know, the guy, or you go after the female. How in the hell can you go after them when it's the female, it's the man? You can be mad at them because that's natural. But you can't hate the game. It's just like the Arabics. Everybody talking about, oh, they coming in our community and they taking over and this, that, and the third. Hell, nigga, you didn't have no community.
Thank you.
When did y'all have 40 acres and a mule?
Thank you.
The only thing you have is a bunch of churches. And you have hair salons and barbershops, and they don't even own the damn building. They only own the chairs.
Thank you.
Bottom line.
So how can you say that somebody is coming in your community taking over when in reality they came in with a plan?
Thank you.
And they don't cut each other's throat. So you can't hate the game. That's what I'm saying. You got a whole bunch of ignorant Negroes out here that all they do is rob, steal drugs, and do all that dumb stuff, and they still don't make no money. If you got to go out there the next day and do that shit, then you obviously, that game is not working.
And
these dudes are sitting up there making money. They're running like 13 operations in one. They're doing cell phones. They're selling cell phones, accessories. They're selling liquor. They're selling a lottery. They're paying bills on there. They're selling condoms. They're selling cigarettes by the singles. They're selling black and miles by the singles. They're doing all selling tennis shoes. Hell, they're selling lingerie.
They got it all.
Pretty soon they're gonna sell a damn dildos in there.
Hey, bro, Billin, and guess who's going there and get them black and mild singles and them single cigarettes? A
we
lot
do.
Of
the
brothers
Negroes.
In the hood.
We do. That's
those
right. We
Negroes.
Do.
We go up in there buying them by the pound.
Right.
Buying them for our mamas and our sisters and our friends on the block.
Right, and once the A-Rabs see that they can break their cigarettes down and hustle, the A-Rabs say, well, it's 45 cigarettes to a pack. That's just like breaking down a whole brick. You feel me? That's 36 holes in the brick. So I'm going to break this down instead of getting $5 a pack. I'm going to just get all the money. You feel
Thank
me?
You.
That's how they do it.
Because they ain't
and
down to the game. They ain't down to the game. You know, now, like you said, Doug Billen, we the only ones getting our own neighborhood and been living there for years and don't even want to do nothing for the neighborhood, don't even want to get no building, don't even want to buy no building, even want to get no job.
Look, don't even want to pick up
the
trash off the street.
And ask everybody for something all day long. And you look at you on the block 20 years ago, man, and you still out here doing that same shit. Then I see you back in the 80s. You still here?
Talking about my block. My block. You know, nigga, like I tell these kids, I'm like, how do it look like I'm 42 years old still talking about I'm crippled? I said, would you respect me? They're like, hell no, I wouldn't respect you. What your whole ass still doing talking about you gangbanging?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It ain't no benefits in that shit. Hey, that's what I'm saying. One of the Arabics told me, he said, man, let me tell you something, man. He said, man, you know, your people, man, you know, Twan is, you know, they're a product. And I said, well, what you mean by that? He said, they're an investment.
Yeah.
He said, we come here, man, y'all can open up a store, they won't patronize y'all.
Mm-hmm. That's
he
right.
He hurted my feelings.
But he's telling
because I was emotionally tied up to my race. You know, but the reality was he was breaking knowledge to me. He said, we can open up businesses. As soon as we open up, they're going to come knock. All we got to do is light the store up, and they'll come knocking.
Bottom line, you know what? Your store ain't
going to
get your love.
He said to me, you know what? This is how we do. He said, you know, we're not a profit. He said, everything we do is not is tax write-offs. So, but, you know, he told me, you know, he didn't say it in this, but what they do is bring in, every 10 years, they bring in Cousin Hamid. After 10 years, bring in Cousin Abdullah.
Exactly.
Abdullah come in, then we got Cousin Rashada, coming in. So what they do, they keep that cycle going. And then what they do, they pass stuff out of
for
bulk.
30 years.
Yeah, they buy the stuff by the bulk, and they buy cars by the bulk.
Right.
They go out in these major suburbs, that's where they stay at, in major suburbs, and they won't bring, they get toys down. Some of them will do it, but not all of them will bring their toys. Like, they are going by Camrys by the bulk. They buy those Camrys. I've been paying attention to that. Like, those Camrys, those O'Naz and up to O12 Camrys, they buy them things by the bulk, And then that's how they get out. They won't drive their toys, their Rangers, their Benzes, they, you know, all these real toys. Some
that's
of them, like I said, would do that. Yeah, that's
the
how they want, because they smart. They know that these
right.
niggas are rob them and kill them. So they
mm-hmm.
said, no, we ain't gonna do it like that. We gonna be smart, but we gonna be friendly. See what they do? They give a nigga a pack of potato chips, some 25-cent potato chips, and now they friend. They willing to kill for them and all that. You know what I'm saying? See, that's what I say. How ignorant Negroes is. All you gotta do is feed them, and they'll give you the world.
And give you the
they
world.
They just like I said, they like mice, man. You know what I'm saying? You got to understand the mentality of the ignorant Negro. You know what I'm saying? It got to be a sickness. And the first thing, like, we go back into what we talk about the race car. Oh, the white man did this. The white man did that. Man, God, Lord, man. I mean, the people that went through that time is almost on their last leg. They probably ain't even in existence no more. What's up with this new generation? What's stopping us from making money on the internet, like Brother Boyd said? What's stopping us from being able to go out there and buy 900 houses up and down the street? What's stopping us from, oh, the white man ain't going to let us do that, and, you know, NASA ain't going to do that. Come on, man. That ain't happening.
That's old, man. That's the old Negro saying.
That's what I'm saying, man. All that, like you
yep.
said, that white and black card, man. That's dead, man. I don't even be wanting to hear that, man. You know, nigga, do what you need to do. Get out on
right.
the ground.
Stop
the white man didn't send me to jail.
Stop blaming everybody else. You know what I mean? If you fail, that's because you want to fail and you choose to fail, and that's anybody, whether you white, black, green, or yellow. You know, if you choose
yep.
to
Hello.
Fail. That's on you, you know what I mean? But it's people nowadays is willing to help you. You got organizations that when me and you was coming up, Bill and the Brother Eric, we didn't have organizations really to help us and do certain things, you know what I'm saying? So nowadays it's certain organizations that's willing to help a helping hand, that's willing to show you how to get that job application filled out, that's willing to show you, you know, how to get educated. So, you know, you can't never play that card about the white man holding you down. That shit is so old, man. That shit is centuries, man, ago. You know what I mean? You're holding yourself down,
excuse.
Bro.
That's just excuses, you know, that goes back to being lazy. You know, like I said, that goes back to what I was saying about LeBron and them. Everybody wants somebody to hand them something. They don't want to work for it. And that's why
right.
our children is in the condition that they're in. Now, I don't give a
right.
damn if
mm-hmm.
LeBron making he'd never be I guarantee you one thing, he'd never be a billionaire. He won't get to that level.
Because
he already made
himself.
A bad name for himself. Huh?
Right. He's not working for himself. And hopefully he got good investments, because Icky Woods, prime example,
exactly.
and other football players. Icky Woods, cause his son died last year. He didn't even have a dime to bury his own child. You know what I mean? He got
wow.
no money, no more, none of that. That blew me away, man. I'm like, damn. You know what I mean? I remember when Icky was making $4, $5 million a year, and that was good money for the 80s for being in the NFL. And when he got out of that, I mean, knowing good investments, none of that, you know what I mean? And I hated when his son passed, because his son had asthma, you know. But it just hurt me, because I'm like, damn, this dude don't even got money to bear his own kid. He had to go to the Bengals in Cincinnati, and they put up a collection for him. But I was like, wow, you know what I mean? This shit just unreal how guys run across these fields and run across these basketball courts and making $100 million and $30 million and you look up, they ain't got a damn dime, man. I'm
they ain't
like,
got a
damn.
Dime.
I'm like, where they put that shit at? You know?
That's because they spending them on some nasty females instead of, you know, staying home. Let's take, for instance, going back to my man LeBron. I'm sorry to keep bashing LeBron, but it's been on my chest. You know that they said that the rumor is that he got a baby by this girl, Sharon Reed, that was the news anchor up here in Cleveland, right? You guys familiar with her, right?
I'm not.
Oh man, y'all gotta Google her. She a pretty girl, bodied up and everything. Now the thing about Sharon, you could tell Sharon is a down to earth sister, very very sisterless, you know, mouthy attitude. Everything that a black woman is about, that's what Sharon pretty much represented. But then at the end of the day, she was a sellout. Now for Channel News, we got a a tabloid newscast here, Channel 19. Channel 19, what they do is they put out a lot of lying stories. What they do, they allow you, you know, just to get ratings. You know, they don't give a damn how they tell a story. They just tell a garbage story. Now, this is what they did. Now, Sharon Reed, as beautiful as she is on the exterior, she got out there. You know, you ever heard of that guy that go around taking pictures of naked people laying on the street for art?
No.
Okay. He travels the world and do this. Now, Sharon Reed decided to do this, right? Now, here it is. If you decided to do it for art, why in the hell would you call your newscast to follow you to do it? If you're doing it just for art.
Okay.
This got her big ratings to the point it got her all the way over to David Letterman.
Wow.
All you got to do is Google Sharon Reed. Now, they said that Sharon, now, Channel 19 just fired her. And everybody trying to figure out why. The rumor is because she got a baby by LeBron. And nobody have heard anything about Sharon. But all of a sudden, the rumor is strong that LeBron is paying her out to keep quiet. All you got to do is Google her, Sharon Reed, R-E-E-D. Now,
why wouldn't you want to know about this kid? What's the big secret?
Yeah, really.
Because he's with his girlfriend.
Oh,
you know, the girl that he's been with. Yeah, because
if you got a kid, let it be. You know, that's like my father. You know what I mean? He died last year, and I didn't even know I had 12 brothers and sisters to last year. That's crazy. You know,
think about it. LeBron had a squeaky clean image. LeBron never been arrested, never been charged in the law, never got into bar brawls. He always had a squeaky clean image other than when he made the decision. So if they find out that he had this baby with Sharon Reed, of all the people, all hell want to break out if that ever really comes to fruition and they find out that that's true. Now, the other issue that I have with him is his mama. Why in the hell is his mama always in the back kissing every damn player when they're going into the locker room?
You noticed that too, huh?
Man, every Dwayne Wade mama and everybody else's mama be up in the bleachers, but she always having her nasty butt hanging in the back, kissing on all them damn players, knowing damn well those niggas thinking about boning her. You ain't telling me not one of those players ain't thinking about boning his mama.
I heard about that last year, Dylan. Was that last year or 2 years ago when it was a big thing up in Cleveland about when she slept with one of the players, LeBron friend?
Yeah, Delonte West. And then they said that his girlfriend's supposed to have slept with Rashad Lewis, the one that's playing with Miami Heat.
His mother. I've seen that on the Cincinnati news down there a couple of years ago. Before LeBron got left and went to Miami, that his mother was went to bed with his friend. Yeah, I heard that was a big thing down in Cincinnati.
And that's why they're saying that.
Why would it be such a surprise that he got another girl pregnant then? I mean, smart. He's not God. He's just a guy, you know?
Yeah, see, that's the thing about it. Is my point is, okay, with, you know, Gloria, his mama, you know, okay, after the thing happened with her and Delonte West when they had that rumor out real strong, is they saying that's one of the reasons he left Cleveland because he was embarrassed about that. But the other thing is, and all the other players knew that Delonte phoned his mother and didn't tell him. But, you know, if that's the truth, we don't know if that's the truth. But I will say this. As you being that man's mama, and that rumor had circulated around, and you not trying to hurt your son's image, why in the hell would you keep putting yourself in that same situation and being in the back kissing on all them damn players? Why in the hell do you need to be kissing them? You didn't raise your damn son when you had your son when he was younger. It was a damn coach that raised LeBron. So all of a sudden you want to embrace and kiss every damn body? Go sit your nasty ass down up there in those bleachers and have a coke and a smile.
That's why you don't respect. tough way.
That's what I'm saying. All the other players' mamas and grandmothers sit up in the bleachers. Nobody come down there kissing all the doggone players. So why in the world should she do it? That's all I'm saying.
She's trying to find a sugar daddy.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Why should she do it? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, all I'm saying this year, you know, it's all about image. You know, we as people, if we want better, we got to do better. Bottom line, from parents to community to government to law enforcement to everyone. But at the end of the day, it's never going to happen because some people like it like this. I heard a gangster disciple down in Chicago on video said, hey, I like it like this. I like people killing each other. You know, this is cool, man. I don't want to change. So this dude asked him about Larry Hoover changing the name into Growth and Development. This dude said, well, you know, F Larry Hoover. He was out here, this and that happened to him. That right there, when I seen that, I said to myself, these young people don't have no respect whatsoever. Here it is, you and this dude sitting there, the dude who started the Gangsta Disciples, here you is talking bad about Larry Hoover, talking about he had, you know, this had happened to him and this, that, and that, and you talking about, oh, yeah, I like it like this. I like seeing people shot up and stuff like that. The nigga sounds stupid.
Very
stupid.
What
I'm saying. And, you know, you try your hardest to sound so hard when in reality you sound so dumb.
Right.
A little girl just got shot up here a few weeks ago, 14 years old at a party. She was running, and these idiots shot up in the crowd and shot this girl in her head. Okay?
Wow.
So the key thing is a 14-year-old baby girl shot up in the head, man. And that goes back to what we were saying, Brother Boyd, about street cred. Now, you show me one nigga that's out here that's saying, oh, man, that's the game, dog. That's the game, you know? Now, I had a dude, you know, his daughter was shot and killed. I have a group called Mothers Against Youth Violence, too. And it was this dude that his daughter was shot and killed by these two dudes having a shootout in broad daylight. His daughter came out of the store, and one of those bullets hit his daughter in the back, okay? Mm. She was 14. She died. Okay, and when the dude came running down the street, he heard the shooting. When he was down the street chilling with his homeboys, the dude come down the street, the other dude shot him in the back. So he come collapsed down in the street. So he ran up to him like, hey, man, don't die. We got you. We got you. He took the gun, the same gun that killed his daughter, and was looking for a sewer to get rid of the gun.
Lord,
trying to get rid of it because he was trying to help this dude. So he took the gun and put it up under the porch since he couldn't find a close sewer. So what I'm trying to say this to say, this dude was cocky and all outdoors. So I guess that he snitched on homeboy, too, when he got up and testified on him. I guess that's snitching, too, huh? I guess that, you know, it's street credibility, man. That's real because he took the gun and he was about to do away with the gun. You know, if that would have happened, if God would have had a sewer away, that dude could have got off for killing his daughter because they didn't know which gun killed his daughter.
Wow.
So when they told him where the gun was at, you know what I'm saying? And this dude is a street dude, 100% gangster. I could tell you that. This dude is he big, and I knew he would pitch you out. I would tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Her father ain't no joke. But the thing about it is that what I always looked at that, and when I think about street credibility, I think about things like that. You know what I'm saying? Me and my homeboys was out on the yard one day when we was in the penitentiary, and this dude came out talking about, yeah, man, when I get out, I'm going to brand my baby with a Gangster Disciple star on his arm. Man, everybody, it was about 30 of us out there, man. They wanted to put that dude to sleep. And the only reason they didn't stone him out for talking about abusing his baby is because one dude, because I ain't going to lie, I even wanted to put a foot to him. But the only reason was a dude like, no, man, if all y'all do that, man, he going to die. And, you know, everybody backed off of it, but they made him get away from him. But the key thing about it is that there's so many guys that's out here, man. Like, okay, I just seen on YouTube. if you look at YouTube and look at, what's it, Lil Wayne getting called up by some, I think it was Crips. They called him up and ambushed his convoy. And they called him up in Los Angeles. If you use YouTube, the same dude that was talking all this gangster shit, right? The same dude talking this gangster shit is now on YouTube with the Game, the rapper Game from Blood. Game whooping his ass. I mean, I'm talking about not a butt whooping, an ass whooping. Whooping his ass one on one. They're talking to him while he's spanking. It ain't nothing like an ass whooping when a dude is talking to you when he's spanking your ass. That's how your parents used to spank your ass back in the day. You'd be talking about, didn't I tell your ass? Mm-hmm. I was talking to him when he was spanking his ass.
Wow.
He spanked his ass, and this dude was all up on YouTube talking about how gangster he is and this, that, and the third. But that one-on-one ass whooping, didn't you know you ran? And then the gang said, yeah, look, I know you're going to call the police. So obviously the nigga had a history of calling the police. All I'm saying is to say, it ain't no man that is exempt from getting an ass whooping because it's an ass for ass. Don't get me wrong. But the key thing of what I'm trying to say, don't sit up there and it ain't no gangsters out here, man. It's somebody for somebody out here, man. Just keep in, you know, a gangster, like I said, take care of his family.
Mm-hmm.
Stop trying to be hard and shit and take care of your family. Because if you take care of your family and shit, raise your child and raise them. Look at L.G. Graves, the dude who owned Black Enterprises magazine. Look at how he raised his family to be successful. I respect the black man. That's gangster. I respect any man, whether it's Donald Trump. Look at how Donald Trump, that's a gangster for real. He talks shit to you and he still got money.
Right.
Yeah. How many times Donald Trump filed for bankruptcy? And look how many times he came up and he used that shit for it. Tell me that ain't gangster. Well, tell me what gangster disciple ain't gonna respect Donald Trump.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That's gangster. That's what a man is, man. You know what I'm saying? All this shit running around here, man. Oh, I'm this, I'm that. Man, that shit is bullshit. Because you're signing yourself up for an early death certificate. We're going to the damn penitentiary. It's a bunch of dead brains in the penitentiary, trust me. Niggas are sitting up there jacking off on female workers and shit like that. You wake up and shit, go wash your damn face, and you liable to have some damn body, a male baby batter up on your damn robe and everything if you don't watch it.
Wow.
Who in the hell want to live in that? Tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't no way a man should have to live.
Not at all.
You be sitting up there talking to a dude. The dude ain't, he listening to you, but he ain't paying attention to you. He over there looking at a female, but he got his hand in his pocket whacking. I don't want to live around no shit like that, man. I don't want to live around niggas that's killing people around here. I don't want to live around niggas that's up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, hanging out in the street, smoking weed, and got cars driving all the way around them. I don't want to live like that. I'd rather live with the white folks. I'd rather live around the white folks. I want to live around them because I don't have to worry about killing one of these dumb niggas for breaking in my damn house.
Right. Yeah, we had a great show tonight, Twan, and we've got just a few more minutes, about 4 more minutes left. And I would like to ask you and also Eric real quick, do you have any shout-outs and then any just any last advice for these young men and women out here that think that the streets are cool?
Well, I will say this. First of all, anytime that streets would cause you to go for the rest of your life because you're trying to prove something or prove yourself to somebody, that you go to the penitentiary for your life or you lose your life to the streets, that's an everyday norm, which means that you don't get no street named after you. You don't get no blocks named after you. You, hell, you can't even get a brick with your name on it.
Right.
That's dumb. So, therefore, if any time that you live like that, it's not worth it. But when you sitting up there and you making money, you going out there making the decision to go to college and get a good job and saying, fuck the street, or even taking for what me and Mr. Boyd and so many other, because all of us have made bad choices in our life. We all want to do them. But if you could turn that negative around and take it into a, turn it into a positive, then great. And as far as for the parents, you said the parents too, right?
Yep.
You said, okay, so for the parents, the only thing I can say for parents, I'm not talking about the distributors. I'm talking about for parents. You know, for them, I would say this. You know, keep your head up. Keep, stay strong. You know, work with anybody that you can possibly work with to try and help mentor your child. But don't go out there trying to bring in any type of male figure in your house.
Thank you.
To be a role model to your family. You don't got to sit up there and sacrifice yourself to get a male to mentor your son.
That's
or your
right.
daughter. You might be bringing in a child molester.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
exactly.
Just, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm saying, but at the end of the day, you know, stay strong, do all you can to raise your child, and at the end of the day, God will prevail. That's the only
cool.
thing I can say about that.
You know what? After all that, what else is there to say? Because you've been
and
uncovered.
We are out of time, but we appreciate you both for coming on tonight, and you know, just join us at our website and our movement, The Streets Don't Love You Back, and that's thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And, you know, let's network and let's help spread that message that the streets don't love you back.
Hmm. No problem.
Beautiful.
So thank you for having me.
Beautiful. Thank you for having me as well. Hey, we appreciate you, Brother Bill and Brother Eric. We appreciate you. You know, I told you when I was talking to you when I was walking today, that, you know, you ran the whole 2 hours out, baby. So that's what we like, you know, when you run it all the way down to the ground. You feel me? That's a good look.
Oh,
it's great when you can chop it up about real stuff. When your conversation is about, you know, we call it head sessions. And when you have good head sessions, you have good conversation. But when you have juvenile conversations, it's not much to say.
You know what it's called? An educational point. That's what I like to call it. You know, because you always can learn something if you shouldn't listen.
So we appreciate everybody, and we're going to go out with a song tonight. And y'all hang in there, and God bless everybody, and we thank all our viewers for tuning in tonight. And Brother Billen and Brother Eric, peace and love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is B.O.Y.D. and Struggle coming straight at you, baby. Much love to my homeboys up in Detroit off Van Eyck Harbor. Much love goes out to my homeboys in Cincy that's always kept it real. And to your fair haters, this goes out to you. No need to look any further. Look like brother, what you thought? Boy, record knocking you out like Robert Tussin does it go. Made you pull up with this northern exposure. Smoking doja, and I'm coming on the real. Yes, the real, I thought I told you. And I'm keeping it to your bloodstream just like HIV. Stand away from all them player hating people with degrees. It's time to come up. Why do you bet not brother? Because you put your faith and your plans into another man's hand. That move is bogus. Struggle's here to let you know this. That you never ever be a part of the dopest. Who put your faith in the spot? Who cooled it off when it was hot? Who made it live when it was now you can't even speak it. It's time to nut check. Time for respect. Time to break neck. You want it out your family. Now it's time for you to check. And you chasing waterfalls. It wasn't meant, fool. In other words, you played yourself. Now who's cool? Hey, girl, you played yourself. No, you played yourself. Hey, girl, you played yourself. You played yourself. Hey, girl, you played yourself. Wait a minute. You played yourself. Because you didn't play the cards that was dealt. Partner, you played yourself. You tried to engage yourself with some people who didn't have no freaking wealth. So watch your health. Ain't nothing good gonna come out your freaking game. Cause everything you do bad gonna come back twice the pain. Who's to blame? Listen to the black rain. About to shake the ground for all you backstabbing people in this town. I'm known to bring the anger, make you hiss like a snake. Here's a hint from my partner.
Take it down in your face.
Hey, yo, I'm biggity back up in you too. Dissect you like a chemist. You played yourself, and I was a witness. Your career's finished. Don't be misled by the words that I speak. I keep it real. You had a taste of both sides. Not how it feels.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
No, you played yourself.
I said you played yourself.
You played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them and bad as the worst of them. But don't test me, brother.
No, brother, don't test me, no.
You be like that Benedict on a backstabbing brother behind my back. But in my face, you be like struggle, yo. Where the party at? I be like push on. Get on, get out my face, partner. Cause ain't no love lost, it ain't no love here neither. I can't believe that you betrayed me. Took food from my face, but you have been acting kind of shady lately. So I got to push you to the curb, fly away like a bird. Partner, you need to stop smoking all that herb. If you would've came to me, Imano, Imano, we would've squashed it at the gate. But you chose to segregate, play a hate, get it straight. Partner, you played yourself. No, you played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
You played yourself.
You played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt. Brother, relax your mind and let your conscience be free. Get down to the sounds of struggling I'll be. Your negativity be scratching against my surface. Cause the things that I did for you, your ass didn't deserve it. Now I'm on some payback for the things you did like way back. Asking all your questions like my name was Pat Sajak. Jesus had 12 disciples and one wasn't true. And he knew, like I knew, I never ever should have messed with you. So I'm gonna do what I gotta do and then some. If a brother try to flex, I take his life for ransom. Even when I'm by myself, I roll with a crew of soldiers, sick and fluid soldiers. Known to turn your body black and blue, I told you, why did you test me? I'm the one who put you on, see if it wasn't for me, you'd be like a mobile phone or wrong cheek. It ain't no me and us, it ain't no he and we. I thought we would be together like OJ and AC. You were that brother I pull a trigger for. You a freaking beard for. Now you just that off-brand nigga role. You played yourself. No, I said you played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself. No, partner, you played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them and bad as the worst of them. But don't test me, brother. No, brother, don't test me, no.
Why did you test me in this game, girl? I told you don't ever tempt me. But now I gotta come at you for real now. You should've kept it real. But when you don't keep it real, situations sometimes get hectic in your life. But you should've understood. So why did you play yourself, player?
Come on.
I look at you all the time when you don't think I see you. I see